Yeah.
Along with that, on 17, I'm wondering if this is where we could add the, with council approval, and then Councilor Kekkonen saying by resolution perhaps, if that purchase, if you decide to go through a company like Canoe, that at least council is aware of it, and that they have some say in it, I guess. I just don't want a situation where local companies are can't bid on things. Councilor Kekkonen?
Yeah, that is a concern if they're excluded because they weren't the successful business that Canoe selected through their bid process. Because the ones on Canoe's site are going to be the ones that have gone through the process and provided the best price, so that municipalities can say, you know, that yes, we're going to receive purchase that at that price. So yeah, I think it does exclude the any local businesses. Or I think we asked that question when she was here, and she did say that it would exclude them.
Yeah, they have to sign up as members, I think, the way I understood it, that they had to. And that's where they made the money, because they're not charging us anything to actually do these bids for us, the tenders and that. I don't think there's any charging from the municipality. It's all done through whoever they have as suppliers. So
I can put this into context as well. Some of the items we could be procuring through Canoe are larger items that aren't necessarily sold at a local dealership as well. So say lawn tractor, for instance, we have everything in stock for a Kubota tractor. And the Kubota we have is very reliable, and the staff like it. So, you know, maybe we would like to buy another Kubota brand and not just any zero-turn lawnmower. So at that point, the public works superintendent could approach council and say, there's a lawnmower in the capital budget. I'm looking to procure it through Canoe. And then we pass a resolution to move forward with that. And then once approval is given, the superintendent can come back with a report to council with the results from Canoe, and then council can award that way. I think that's more how something like that would look.
So that could come back to council, but then could then the superintendent go to local Kubota dealer and see if he could get a comparable
price?
Yes,
because Kubota, the big umbrella Kubota, is signed up, and then as the, I forget her name, Sarah was mentioning, then Kubota then procures it through a local Kubota dealer, so say Bruce Birch.
Well, there's one in town too.
Right, yeah.
So as long as council does have a say on any large items, whether it be after, like you were just talking about, or even prior, if a department head comes forward and says, oh, I want to make a certain purchase, it's worth $100,000, at that point council can make the determination whether we're going to go through Canoe or we're going to advertise locally. So
yeah,
that tool will be in place?
Yeah, I think that would work well.
Okay, and for surplus stock, I've got 20.03, maybe in present company excluded.
Yeah.
Keep saying that with everything. So. It's leaving the clerk administrator to decide to sell or dispose of all furniture, vehicles, equipment, surplus stock, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't come back to council either.
So I can add that council would deem the stock surplus, and then the clerk administrator and or department head. Because council as a whole can't sell
the
good.
I'm just saying approval of, because sometimes we come into a function, say, at the hall, and we expect to sit down with all the chairs, and so, as an example. Well, we got a good deal today. But just so that we're aware of what's being sold and what it should be sold.
Yeah, council may want
bring
the first opportunity
chair
to buy it, too.
So I can add in the line to say that we would use the stock surplus.
You got your eye on something, Mark?
No, we'll never pull that.
very unfortunate that the previous set of chairs that we had in the community center were disposed of. Now we need lots of them at St. Stephen's, so.
And where did they go?
Who knows? I think to the garbage. Most of them, some went to Erdville Hall, but I don't think any of them were saved down in the storage area underneath the community center.
Yeah, I think all the good ones, for a fact all the good ones, because they were picked over, war shipped to Erdville Hall, and the rest were like torn. You know, you would have had to put a lot of money in.
And I think there was opportunity for council to speak up and say, you know, whether they thought they should be saved or not.
I said we should save, 50 of them down in underneath the community center, and they were never saved, and now we need, approximately that many chairs at St. Stephen's.
Just technicality on number 22, the leasing, we've already got a 22. Short title, so just to give that. So.
I will correct numbering and add page number and date as well. Just didn't have that for the draft, which would have been helpful.
I don't know if this was pointed out, but 812 and then B, and then you were mentioning, so yeah.
The figures wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just want to get a feeling from council the actual increases and whether you're comfortable with those figures that you talked about. The one, for instance, I think went from
807 from 25 to 50.
That's the one. 807? Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the other increases were fairly minor, like 25% or something, but yeah, that one doubling it, which I kind of noticed.
Would council be more comfortable with 30?
It's not much of an increase, but it's something. It's less than 50.
So maybe if you can give some examples of where this was actually necessary to see when this was applicable, that there was an issue that the number wasn't sufficient.
I don't have a specific one.
Just
off
for
the top of my head, but
future reference,
yep.
If we discuss this again.
So that would be like culverts and stuff, but that would already be in the budget, right?
Yeah, but then procuring a culvert, right? Like, it is in the budget, but then we need to get one from a supplier. So.
Because I imagine, I don't have no, but I imagine they're quite expensive now if you're getting them bulk. So I don't think.
Only from the one that's in the report
25,
here.
Yeah, 25,000.
So the before you hit tender, you have formal quotes, right? So the department head is still obligated to contact multiple suppliers to get the best price.
Right.
It's just not in a public tender. The difference is when hitting that number, then it becomes a public tender, right? So we still are doing our due diligence. It's just the figure.
Now the other one, and this may have come from an engineer, 1008. That's quite a jump too. Well, maybe it's more realistic. Pulled back at 10%, anything over 15,000. But now it's 75,000. And I'm not sure where that figure came from. Is it that maybe it's asking too much for a 15,000, 10% holdback? Not realistic. Just something to look at.
Yeah, I can take it back.
But council is agreeable that figure should be increased. Is it? I think that's what they need.
Are we going to do 30 instead of 50?
Well, I don't know. We haven't got the nitty-gritty, but I'm just saying this is something they're putting toward. This is something they want to investigate. We're able to that to have the figures increased. We have to get that straight first of all, or just keep the figures as is.
Or we give go for a percentage since this was last done. I don't know, has it been 5 years maybe or something?
That's, well, that's what I want to clarify, because I think it wasn't that long ago, maybe. Maybe 5 years, because I think it worked.
Yeah, and I'm thinking inflation 2% at least per year. Or so you're talking we should increase maybe more, look at a percentage, you know, 10 to 15% kind of thing, just with the cost of living, how everything goes. Plus, actually, I believe a lot of the things we buy have gone up way more than that percentage, at least from what I've seen. So unless we tried to stick with a 15%, I'll try to keep close to that all the way through or something.
Be a guidepost rather than just coming up with figures.
Some rationale.
Yeah, that's good.
So you know, it was 3% a year, I believe inflation was. Was it close to 3% a couple of years? Yeah, it might have been. So 15% over 5 years is not outrageous at all. And then like I say, well, that's inflation. I think it's sort of purchasing items like this, it's even worse.
So 15% is $28,750, so we're pretty close to the $30,000 mark.
You could round it off anything real close like that, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, I'm good with 30.
Yeah, I think we'll have to look at each of this individually and see if that 15% works at all. Maybe some of them are excessively low to begin with.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, because, you know, if I was in my own private business, you know, kind of thing, the more conditions and roadblocks you throw up, it's harder to do business kind of thing. So you don't want to, you know, restrict yourself too much to conduct business. But I was 805, I believe it's, I had a earmark, but I believe there that, you can get three, you attempt to get three quotations, but you can proceed even if you got two, right? Is that how that reads? In 805.2, I have written down. Let's go back to it. 805.2, yeah, at least three quotations, but. I read somewhere. If you can't, I'm worried, but. Say, sometimes you just can't get three quotations.
Yes.
If you can't, we go forward with the two we receive.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
So as long as that's the way it reads.
Yeah, 805.3, I guess, just down below that, I think covers it.
Does it? Okay. Because I know can run into that quite a bit.
And the same sort of thing we mentioned before, 805.2 does mention the no formal advertising. No sealed bids reviewed by someone. Results tabulated. So it's the same clause. It's just a matter of rewording it in some fashion that can fit into both sections, I guess.
So just so council knows for accountability, typically the department head, if they have an informal quotation, they'll provide me with the emails or information, and then I'm the second set of eyes to ensure that they've done their due diligence.
Well, that's good to know. I was just wondering, and I'm looking at it too, those who prepare it and those who review it. I didn't want a situation where you're being overworked here by actually preparing the tenders for department heads. Is that happening? Or
either myself or Mary is typically preparing them, but I don't think it's any... we're obviously getting the technical information from the department head because they're the ones that have the knowledge base and are providing it to us, but Mary and I are typically ensuring that the tenders are following our procurement bylaw and have all the legal jargon and insurance coverage in it. So I think it is good to kind of be collaborative and have more than one staff member working on them, the department head and in collaboration with the clerk's department.
I think that's good. I just didn't want a situation because I know you're heavy workload, and for a department head to come in and say, I need a tender for such and such, when can you have it ready?
That's happening, I guess. But just by the expression, it's happening.
But, you know, tenders are, you know, obviously we're busy in the beginning months doing the public work annual annual tenders, but they're pretty well the same every year. We're just changing the technicality, like the quantities in them, so it really isn't a lot.
Yeah, but they should be supplying that to you, right?
They are.
They're supplying you a list of what they want in the tender,
yes.
And then you do the actual tender?
Correct.
Councilor Pegram?
Under four responsibilities and authorities, 401F, for the purposes of budgetary controls, the treasurer shall provide department heads with financial statement at the end of each quarter. Isn't it monthly more reasonable for a department head to receive? Are they receiving it quarterly now? Or
yes.
So is it the department heads feel they don't need it?
No, it's just the workload of the treasurer. He can't always supply it monthly, so he does the best he can. Sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's quarterly, sometimes it's less than that. It's just when he's able to do it. But if the department head is making budgetary decisions, they always come in and speak to the treasurer with, like, so there's other ways instead of getting these reports. They'll come in and say, you know, what's left in my budget? I need to make this purchase. So it's more of just a conversation. It's not that the treasurer is being left out of purchases. He's very much involved in what's purchased. We just don't do it formally by those quarterly, the monthly reports.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else from the council? It's a committee of the whole, so I'm opening it up to the public as well. Yes. Microphone.
Great discussion by council. Thank you. A couple questions and comments. First thing on your process of understanding whether or not the current levels are appropriate. A good discussion around that in there. A suggestion or a best practice I've done in my previous life. Look at what actual tenders have come through, what the dollar amounts have been. You can get a surrounding profile of them, and then you can see whether or not a change from 25 to 30 makes a material difference. That is really something that you guys care about. Because you're right, the comment is, you know, the percentage based off of CPI is great under the assumption that the previous values had some value to them or made some logical sense. So that was one comment there as a suggestion. In the report, it says while the proposed changes do not directly impose new costs, the expanded purchasing options and cooperative opportunities could generate significant long-term savings. I'm just curious what those long-term savings would look like or what they may be.
I'll have to think about that one
and get back to you. No problem. And then finally, the comment is, and I'm not sure if in the procurement bylaws is the right place to put it. Rules and processes are great, but they need to be followed, and there needs to be follow-up to make sure they're being followed. If I look back at the forensic audit done by KPMG back in 2023, one of the areas that it brought forward was the procurement bylaw not being met in many instances, or not fully being met in several instances. And there are several examples in that report. So my question would be, how is council supporting staff and making sure that the bylaw is being followed appropriately?
Well, thinking what we do there with the leading up to the treasurer as well, we've asked him on multiple occasions, you know, what have you changed because of the KPMG report? And he did pay attention to it, so some changes have been made. And I guess if we see anything that's glaring that hasn't been accomplished, then we'd go back to him. I mean, it's up to the treasurer to what he's gleaned from that for the information. It's unfortunate, too, that report was not as detailed as we were looking for. It did sort of gloss over many things, but they did offer some suggestions as well, yes. And so the implication is that the treasurer is using what he can use, what he thinks is sufficient. Unless he runs into some problems, we probably won't be questioning the minutiae of what he does. But if there's a concern that you have with suggestions that Anything else? Anybody online? We have resolution 25-383, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby rise and report from committee the whole at
8:24.
8:24 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-384. Certain numbers.
Yep.
The numbers flow around. Moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the August 19th, 2025 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-385, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the draft conditions met letter for consent application number B05/2025 OLA, and further authorizes the clerk to sign the letter and send it to the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion? I was happy to see the parentheses. Comments made. I think that came from our last meeting too, that we have some evidence of conditions being met. So I think that was a step forward. The one I wanted to point out was number four, because that question came up, and even at the time, I guess Patrick questioned, you know, Balsam Road is fine, it's township owned. We find out it's not in many places. So I think it's good that we keep that in there, the 10 meters from the center line, if the applicant happens to own that property and to turn it over. I think that's what he's had to do with this. Discovered both pieces, was it?
Yeah.
That there was a section there turned over to the township to meet the 10 meters from the center line. So I think we should keep that in there. And it was on the severed end retained, and I noticed that the township's doing both, even though it's questioned whether we should be doing retained. Any opportunity we get, because a lot of the roads, well, the traveled certainly, they're really not in the township name as such. And so the best we can get the deed to that. Any other discussion on that? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, resolution 25-386, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Township of McKellar Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee meeting draft minutes of July 17, 2025 for information purposes. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. We've already done 17.1, so 17.2. We have resolution 25-387, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report PW-2025-08, Dog Lake Culvert Replacement from Public Works Superintendent Thomas Stoneman. And further, the Council authorizes the purchase of a poly-coated steel pipe from Armtech in the amount of $19,109.55. Plus HST of $2,484.24 for a total of $21,593.79, and further authorizes the excavator rental to complete the work. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
So it's saying under financial that money wasn't budgeted for, so it's coming out of the remains on the Herdville Bridge capital, right? So also the insurance for the bridges is coming out of there, so.
Correct.
How much is left?
We haven't overspent it yet.
Okay.
Because it was a bit over $100,000
yes.
Saving there.
Okay.
Can somebody tell me where Dog Lake is?
Well, I'm going to say that's a probably good idea for the public to know, because you see on Facebook regularly too, they have all different bays mentioned in Manitowoc Lake and islands, and people have names for it. So maybe that.
such thing as a dollar sale. So, oh well. No. It was actually, used to be called Dog Lake, but since they named a lot of the lakes around here after war veterans, it was changed to Dutcher.
Oh, okay.
But half the people know it as Dog and half know it as Dutcher, so I guess it's both.
So you're aware of that, where's the location then for Dutcher, that so everybody's aware? Is that one back Smith Road, or is it?
To get to?
Yeah.
It's right at the very southeast corner of the township.
Right.
Totally surrounded by Crown property.
Right.
There's no way to it, but then the flow out of it comes into Marsh Lake, and then out of Marsh Lake and under our road. But it's, I guess the creek still maintains the Dog Lake Creek, is that what's...
That's what you're calling it, yes.
Yeah, which is... I'm sure he's got the right spot, I guess.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
So, but a bit of history, anyway.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Usually when I get things like this, I use Google Maps and Google it, and I find it. In this case, didn't matter how long I spent looking, I couldn't find it. But that's probably just because it's not... I'll say a recognized name would probably be anything else. So I got curious.
Yeah, and I mentioned Marsh Lake, which I shouldn't have because it was changed to Belfry in honor of our veterans again. So I get used to getting that right.
So can you show me where that is on the map behind you?
Yeah,
please.
Good. Right this very moment.
Well, it's not hard.
There's Dutcher there.
Okay.
Creek out of it flows all the way over into Belfry.
Okay.
And then creek comes down here, and that's where the culvert replacement would be, right there.
Okay.
Broadbent Road and former Dog Lake Creek.
That's what, so Dutch Lake is, or you think it
is?
It's
the Dog Lake.
Okay, that helps. I've been there, so I've
It's totally surrounded by Crown, which of that is all Crown Reserve, a lot of that property.
Yeah, it might be easier for us. That's quite a distance from Dog Lake, but it might be easier to have intersections or something that for identification points to show where the culverts are. I've said this for years now, and we've never done it, but maybe it's too cost. But the actual roads themselves, I mean, we should know somewhere now that we have a computerized system, not only the GPS, but all of the roads themselves. And maybe pass this on to our public works superintendent, he can work on it. And when the roads were repaired, what was actually done, what year, and same with the culverts, and all of that on our record, so you can just go on and click on with the link and get all the information you need. And that should be done for all of our roads, because we're relying on memory of people who were here before, and if we lose those people, then you don't have the records, perhaps, of what's been going on. So we sit here and say that, yeah, that road was paved maybe 10 years ago, 5 years, we don't know for a fact.
No.
And that's why it would be good, even if it involves tracing some of the records even now, and maybe working backwards and getting that in place rather than just from this step forward. And that's why the culverts, I think, we would actually have a record of when they were last replaced. And I think that would be good to have.
So. Yeah, let's start now so it's easier for councils 20, 30 years down the road that they will have an accurate record of all of those kind of projects.
Mm-hmm.
They will go back and find out.
So how do we make that happen? You know, this has been discussed
direction by council
over the years, so like, how do we actually get this implemented?
Staff are in trouble now.
It's hard for staff as well to know what's been done because a lot of us are new here. So when we do have things provided, we have a brand new filing system on our server. So we've been getting in the habit of putting things on the database. So I think moving forward, we're being in a better position. But no, too, council's frustrations are also felt by staff because we are likely in the same boat as well.
So then how can council access those files so that we can look at the map and then click if there's a highlight on the map on that specific location that it pulls up those details, like culvert changed such and such date?
So no, we don't have the capability. We would have to individually identify each asset. So each culvert in the township would need to be provided with an asset ID number. a student would need to go out and mark the GPS coordinates, and then it would need to go back to West Prairie Sound Geographic Network. The Town Prairie Sound has done this with their infrastructure. That's a huge project that we would need to undertake.
I was thinking something a little more simpler, like where you could just go on and click, okay, Brownlee Road, and it would show you all the history of any work that was done on it.
No.
That's got to be possible.
We don't have our own internal GIS system, so we need to work with West Prairie Sound Geographic Network, and again, like, that's just, it's a technician's time, so I have spoken to Chris Mahan about maybe doing this in the future, but it's something we would need to budget for.
So, but couldn't you, like, I say, have a file, let's say, Brownlee Road,
yes,
and then you have something written up of all the work that's been done on Brownlee Road?
Yeah, so right now we're limited to Excel sheets and
you don't have
documents.
To go to Geographic Network.
Right.
You can just
go
there.
Yeah.
That's all I'm talking about, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Something just simple.
Yeah.
For, especially for future road supers, you know, it's like, oh, should I put that road in front of that one? Which one was, you know, slurry sealed sooner? They would have the record to determine it, kind of thing. So, and like I said, going backwards now is going to be a lot of work and probably even possibly inaccurate, because you're going to be going by word more so. But even if we start now, it's going to be a benefit going forward.
I think it'd be very useful, you know, even in the decision making for council, because there was a funding opportunity to pave Center Road, and I think it was $1 million was available. And looking back over 10 years, we had spent, I believe it was when I was looking through the council resolutions, and that it was, we had spent $850,000 over, you know, 7 years. So then it was, it made sense to pave it that would last 20 years to ensure that we wouldn't be having to redo things like within the next, you know, whatever that time span was, 7 years. So it helps with the decision making process for council over the long term. So I think this is something that the sooner that it's put in place.
Well, I think the two staff members sitting here, when they're still sitting here in 30 years, will be more than happy to have that data.
30 years, you're giving them a vote.
And they're going to say,
there's other jobs. 30 years.
And who was
that
guy that suggested
this?
Yeah.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? No,
did we stray off a bit?
Resolution 25-388, moved by Councillor Hassan, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that in addition to the winter maintenance presently provided, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar hereby agree to provide winter maintenance, the nature and extent of which will be determined by the Public Works Superintendent and Council, for the municipally owned roads and distances attached in Schedule A for the winter season 2025/2026 only, and have permanent residents residing there on a year-round basis as determined by the Clerk Administrator. If these conditions do not exist at the time of winter plowing, including a suitable turnaround, then the Township of McKellar will not provide winter maintenance on said roads. Council, in consultation with Township staff, will review said roads in the spring of 2026 to determine the feasibility of continuing this program. It is understood the Council is under no obligation to continue this program. And further that, it is understood that there is no obligation on Council to convert a municipally owned, seasonally maintained road to a year-round maintained road, nor is there any obligation on Council to assume presently unassumed municipally owned roads. Council, at its sole discretion, will provide maintenance on the roads named in Schedule A, as Council determines, based on maintenance needs and the Township of McKellar's financial capabilities. As presently, there will be no municipal maintenance provided for fire routes, unless on a municipal road allowance opened at the sole discretion of the municipality on its own volition without any request from an outside source. Private roads, streets, avenues, roads, drives, crescents, circles, laneways, driveways, municipal road allowances opened by private individuals, nor for any other roads which do not appear in Schedule A. Schedule A to Resolution 25-388. Municipally owned roads to be winter maintained by the Township of McKellar for the winter season 2025/2026 only, providing that the conditions in the attached resolution are met. Bay Drive, Brownlee Road, 0.6 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road, Deerfield Road, Fire Route 200, Broadbent Colonial Road, 0.2 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road, Stony Road, formerly Fire Route 152, Dockside Drive, formerly Fire Route 152A, Bruce Trail, formerly Fire Route 152B, Jones's Road, 0.8 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road, McEwen Road, 0.1 kilometer beyond a year-round road on a summer-maintained road, Moffett Road, and West Road, 1.7 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road. Discussion? I guess the one... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to ask Dave, is there any changes there compared to last year? Exactly the same? Okay.
I guess that's one question, though. I know we're waiting for a report, but I was sort of expecting, I guess, a report to deal with any problems that we've encountered. This is without going to external sources, such as insurance or solicitors. Any problems we've encountered on the roads we're plowing now for winter maintenance and sanding, with equipment, with staff, I haven't seen that report. I just don't want to hold up these people any longer, especially the most recent one is the Fox Farm Road group that came here. And we talked at the last meeting about a decision, hopefully a report being available by tonight. It's not available, so we'll have to extend that. But whether we add Fox Farm Road to this, or whether we wait for further information, my concern, I guess, if there was a great problem with the last 15 years with what we've been doing, the ones that we've added, of course, that weren't in their original 2009-10 were the ones in 152 because it wasn't township home. Now that it is, they've been added to it. The others have been in all along, I believe. And even with Deerfield and Bay, they were added once that 0.7 kilometers from Balls's Road, actually from McKellar-Ferguson Boundary Road, east, I guess we called it, or south. Once that was cleared up and the road became part of the township, then that was added to it too, but it might not have been in the original. But what I'm getting at, I guess, is that we haven't seen any concerns expressed at this late date regarding machinery, regarding turnarounds, regarding equipment, regarding employee concerns with these roads. Then I'm putting it out to council. Do we wait any longer if they have contractors waiting? Or do we add Fox Farm Road from Lakeshore Road to Watkins Lane on a summer maintained road?
I like the motion the way it is. I don't think we're quite to the point of to extending Fox Farm Road until we determine the turnaround location.
And my question is, when are we going to determine that?
I guess we should get a report back from our...
Yes, we should. Yes, I agree.
Which was supposed to be available at this council meeting.
I'll tell council that Intact Public Entities is coming to the township tomorrow to do a tour of all these roads to provide their risk management opinion.
Sorry, who is?
Intact.
Okay.
And the gentleman that does their road planning, as Samantha alluded to, he's an engineer and has lots of experience with these roads, so we're anxiously waiting his commentary.
Councilor Zuma?
So that still doesn't answer the question as to why we haven't got a report, because I have heard that there's problems with the roads. So what are the problems?
I think the public works superintendent was just wanting to have a report including the legal and the insurance risk commentary in it as well.
So he should have had something sent to council saying, sorry, I don't have a report for you, but explaining that they were coming and he was going to be consulting with them, and then he would have a report for the next meeting, right?
I guess the question is to... if we were reading all of this, why have we got this resolution for tonight? Why are we dealing with it until we get more information, if that's what we need? That would save us deferring when do we get a report? And then I think you'd mentioned to the solicitor may be involved, so it may be snow flying before we get a report. And this is what council has to decide upon. What have been the problems in the last 15 years that are not, that can't be surmounted, cannot be dealt with? Have we discovered something new? That's what I mentioned at the last meeting. Is there something new that we've discovered that we've missed all along? So, council has to make the call. How long are we going to wait for a report? Councilor Ryan?
I know that the issue from a number of these roads is very simply that if the township is not going to do it, then they need to hire somebody, and they need to do that very promptly, like now. So, I mean, it would be leaving the roads that are on the list in the lurch, at least from their point of view, and I understand that. So I don't have a problem with the other roads mentioned, you know, obviously, other than we need a report that supports doing it or not doing it. But at least if we do it for these roads, it's no concern of theirs that they have to find a contractor that would come and do it this winter. So in other words, I wouldn't support deferral. I think we need to decide on this for at least these roads and then amend it based upon the reports that we get from the people that we're expecting them from, right? And again, if we can do anything to hasten that along, that would be good, but I don't know if we can, so.
Now, are you willing, worst case scenario, to pass this, give them hope, they don't get a contractor, then the report comes back saying you shouldn't be doing these roads, then what do you do?
So we've been doing those roads for 15 years. I would say we just go ahead and do those for the 26th season, and then you get your report, and if you have to make adjustments for the following year, then you do.
The only thing I've heard that Tom has mentioned just here and there is that maybe some of the turnarounds aren't ideal kind of thing, so maybe that's just, you know, maybe a little bit of future construction on turnarounds, or even worse, could the condition of the roads going in not be the greatest? That's a possibility, but to do any construction from now till snow flies is almost to put that up. That's pretty onerous on the people that live in those areas. So I would agree that we pass this motion as it is, because we still don't have the answers on the Fox Farm Road. I believe they're probably going to come forward again, but I think it's boiling down in my mind that there's going to have to be, to extend it further, there's going to have to be a turnaround located. So that's something that's going to be worked on by that association with our road super. But I think as far as the rest of the roads, yeah, we've been doing them, and It would have been nice to hear from Tom, but Tom would probably say, well, we'll do them. No, I shouldn't put words in his mouth. <here. laughs> Well, maybe I can. No. So, anyways, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think council's going to have to take a deep dive into this, especially with the surfacing of Fox Farm, because we have to look at, this is what we're hoping that Tom will do for us, we have to look at each one that exists now and what we're doing. And I think that's the key to all of this. We may not have the ideal turnarounds, but we're making do with the turnarounds we have. What turnarounds do we have? And is it going to be any different from Watkins Lane? I think that's the key we have to look at. So that's why it'd be nice to get more information from him. But
we'll set our goal for to accomplish next summer, what improvements have to be done on all these roads, and so by then we should have a report.
Next summer? Okay. Any further discussion?
So,
Councilor Zulak?
So, does that motion say for that the 25-26 season?
Yes.
Okay.
And just to add, this say that the Fox Farm Group, I believe, may come forward in the near future. Not to say that they can't get done this year, but there's going to have, in just only my opinion, not council, that there would have to be a fair bit of work to be done to get that in place, but it's not totally off the table that it couldn't be done if everything's accomplished in quick.
what I'm going to throw out. It's not totally off the table, as you say, because I'll just put this out to you. Where do we turn on Brownlee Road at the present?
Brownlee Road?
Yes.
We don't.
There's supposed to be a turnaround dedicated to the township, deeded to the township. It never was. So what are we doing now? And what are we doing in Fox Farm Road right now for turnaround?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I say, and I could list a few others. There's been some turning in driveways without the turnaround. So now to change the rules, this is what we have to look at. What do we, if we're going to start changing those rules, then I think we have to be consistent.
Yeah, because decisions were made in the past that weren't ideal, and now it's being reviewed again. It's like, okay, we got to do some improvements, so that's what will have to be done.
Any comments from council? Okay, so these stay as is until something goes back and it's amended again, I guess. So I'll call the vote, then all those in favor. None opposed, carried. On to 19.2. Resolution 25-389, moved by Councillor Peckman, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby received the agenda for the District of Parisson Municipal Association Fall 2025 meeting to be held on Friday, September the 26th, 2025, in the Township of Seguin for information purposes, and further direct staff to register all members of Council and current Britain to attend the meeting with the cost of registration to be paid by the Township. Discussion? You've seen the agenda. Councillor Ryland?
I will probably be absent for at least half of that. I have a medical procedure scheduled that afternoon, but it's just in Parisson, so it's not far. I wouldn't leave like early or anything else, but I probably can't attend more than half, and I know there's a cost, so I don't know if that's a concern for council, that's all. Okay.
A bit of a concern because Mike and I were going to get a ride with
to Orville. Yeah, okay, that's a long way.
Somebody's walking.
So are you going to be there for the meal?
Coming back?
Probably not. Actually, if I got to be at the hospital an hour before, then and the appointment's at one, so probably not. But
well, then Morley gets two that
day. Yeah.
And insurance coverage. They don't even have to worry about that. I guess you do.
True.
Well, I think I read something in that insurance where if more than two counselors were together and something happened, didn't I read something like that? That I thought
what,
I did.
Was it called a meeting then? Or what?
Well, no, not a meeting, but if they were in an accident, it was up to a maximum of two. Have to go through it again, but maybe we shouldn't have three riding together.
No more rides. No more rides for you.
You'll have to pay for your own.
Mike's closer anyway. They don't have to drive as far. So,
but anyways, I think this is. I always enjoy the Municipal Association meeting.
Yeah.
It's Mike. Good.
Zulai.
Yeah, I think it's a really good agenda here, and I think Carly put a.
Oh, you're on the board, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And Carly put a lot of work into this, and. She does a great job.
Any further discussion? All the question, all the fair, not opposed, fair. On to 20.1, resolution 25-390, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin, whereas a public meeting was held on June the 3rd, 2025, at which time Council advised the public of its intent to declare Plan 249 Block A as surplus land, and whereas no objections were raised at the meeting and no written submissions were received from the public, now therefore be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby declares Plan 249 Block A to be surplus land. Further, the council directs the clerk to issue a request for proposal to engage a qualified real estate agent or a brokerage to list the property for sale. Discussion? And that is in our sale of real property now that it doesn't have to be
drafted a RFP that I can circulate to council. So it's to have real estate agents bid on the sale of the property, so they'll have to put their commission rate, whether it's a flat rate or a percentage, and then they'll also have to sign a conflict of interest form, so they cannot have sold personal or business property to any member of council or myself for the past 2 years, just so that no conflicts are there. And there's a waiting system to ensure a transparent and equitable process. So submissions will come in, and then there will be a score sheet as to how they're rated, and then council will be provided with all of that information and award the contract to a qualified real estate agent.
Sold property to the people or for the people? A council?
Yeah, like
both?
If you've been in real estate transactions with a person for the last 2 years, they would be ineligible to apply for this.
So that's something for the agent to confirm?
Correct. They have a declaration form, and I've named everyone on council and myself, so it's up to them to recognize those names, and if they've dealt with them, then they have to sign the form and or not apply.
Okay, any further discussion? Sounds very detailed. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. To 21.1, resolution 25-391, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Ryland. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has read bylaw number 2025-42, being a bylaw respecting construction, demolition, change of use, conditional permits, and inspections the first and second time. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar give a third reading and pass an open council the second day of September 2025. Discussion? Councillor Zulak.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Am I reading this wrong? Because it says requirements for applications for, and then if you turn the page, it's got change of use permits 4.1. Is it? And up above, there's 4.11, 4.11. Should that not be 4.2?
Yes.
Yeah, and then all the way down?
Right.
4.3.
Mentioned before, I think so. It's just something that was, it's just the numbering has to be changed, yes. Well, that's just technical. I think that can be done even on a third reading. I guess the other question we raised before was the repeal of bylaws. I'll mention this again. 2011-14 being repealed, it was an amendment to an original bylaw, so I'm thinking the original bylaw. All 2011-14 did was change Schedule A, and we no longer have the same schedule of fees because it's now a fees and charges bylaw. So I'm thinking the original bylaw should actually be, I mean, the wording is basically the same as the original, but it was 2008-17. So I'm thinking that one should be repealed. And we can still repeal the 2011-14. I think that should stay as well. But I think the original, otherwise we're going to have two of them on the books that read pretty well the same. 2008-17. It has the same introductory, same definitions, everything. If there's been anything added, then we should get rid of the original. But again, I think that's something that can be added as quickly and confirmed by staff that that one should be repealed as well. Right.
Yeah.
I think that cleans everything up. Okay, anything else on that? Call the question then, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Resolution 25-392, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar is hereby given services or activities provided or done by or on behalf of the Township of McKellar, first and second reading, and that it repeals bylaw 2011-21, 2011-23, 2011-28, 2021-58, 2022-48, and 2023-15. Further, give a third reading and pass an open council the second day of September 2025. Discussion? Councilor Mazzulla?
Just on page 5 of 15, under exemptions, I mentioned it before, I don't know if all of council agrees, but it has always been, the Veterans Luncheon was always exempt from fees. The annual Veterans Luncheon.
Right. Be good to have it in there again as a history, so mm-hmm. the council comes along and they'll know that.
Okay. And then I just have a question. Facility rentals under ball field, full day and half day, are we charging for people using the ball field?
It'd be the exclusivity of it. So if someone wanted to have a game that they didn't want any member of the public to come in, like if you did like a paid tournament or something, it'd more be like that. And people can use the ball field.
Okay, that's what
I'm
like. Sure. That yeah. Anybody can go over there and use it. But if you want to reserve it just for your family or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if somebody rents the Minerva Park, the public are still allowed to go on there?
You raise that issue, are you?
Is that, well, that would be part of the petition on the contract they sign, I guess, would it be that you can rent it for your event, say a wedding party or whatever, but yeah, is it, if we're not going to allow any McKellar, especially... What I see, the figure I'm seeing for non-residents, to me doesn't seem high enough if that's going to be the case. If we're shutting that off to our residents, I'd like to see that figure pop up a little higher. So Minerva Park full day and the half day, especially. Or is it just going to be, well, no, you... I always thought, I was under the impression that if somebody did want to rent it or use it, that the public... could still go in and do whatever they wanted. If somebody wants to shut the McKellar residents out of there, I think they should be paying more money than that.
Yeah.
And I think they'd be willing to not just $125 for a full day. That's a nice facility for a full day. So I'd like to see those figures pumped up.
But can you? It's a public park. You can't. Can you shut people out of there?
Well, I guess it's not much different than, say, renting the hall out, I guess, if they want to say it's just exclusively for our group.
Yeah, so when we rent the community hall, the one question, too, that we get quite often is if they are allowed to use the beach, and we let them know they're allowed to use the beach and they can use any of the surrounding property,
mm-hmm.
but it's not...
Exclusive.
Just them, that
yeah.
it is public and
yeah.
the public will be able to use it.
That's right. So it's kind of in the wording that when somebody comes in and wants to rent Minerva Park,
right.
the SRE is going to tell them that, well, yes, you can rent it, but residents can still saunter on in. Is that kind of the way we would want it?
I would think we'd have to do that because
yeah.
that's the only where, like, I mean, there is the government dock too, but a lot of people dock at Minerva to get into town.
They'd
with
be
their
pretty,
boats, so we wouldn't really be able to.
Yeah, they'd be pretty ugly if they ever tried to shut it down totally. So, okay,
right.
well, that eases that pain a little bit, but I still think those figures are a little low, if anything, for non-residents.
So do you think that's not justifiable then if we're renting a certain part of the park, but it's still open to the public? Like, what would you like that figure to be? Like, 250?
Well, at least, say, full day, like 200, and half day, 100. Kind of so up.
I'm just wondering how often is it happening?
Probably not.
No,
and actually, do we even want it to happen? So that's almost like discouraging a little bit, though. If anybody wanted it for a full day, not from the township, $200 to them is not going to mean a thing. So why don't we make it instead of $125, $200? So other than that, I think I'm okay. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Can I just suggest, I know that we use resident, non-resident, somewhere in the document, not all in front of me at the moment, but and otherwise ratepayer and non-ratepayer. I think it would be best to stick to resident and non-resident, because obviously I could be a renter in McKellar and not a ratepayer. Right? I think that's our intent. That's obvious, but I mean, it would be better just to say it that way. So.
Yeah, but now that you raise the question, now that the Agricultural Society has the grounds and most of the building, I guess, for a week, an agreement to sign back in the late 80s, early 90s, is the beach available to the public? And I don't think there's ever been a problem. When you think back to the Agricultural Society, that's where we had the swimming lessons. It was all private property then, but they let it happen. It was township run, the program. They were very cooperative that way. So I'm not sure how our cultural society feels about it. If suddenly you have a group come down and want to use the beach, do they think they shouldn't, or have they said anything?
I've seen people using the beach.
Okay.
And even the same day as the fair.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if it's a hot day.
Yeah.
So what about if they have the use for the week, what about like if the students... Are they okay with that? Students coming in and using the youth room and the multi-purpose room?
Yes, the youth room isn't being used by the fair, so they're okay with that. And then the Council Chambers isn't set up until Friday, so if students were to come and set them up in here.
Okay.
That's right.
I have a son that lives in Barrie, and I'm familiar with lots of their public parks now are restricted to residents of Barrie, and they have to get... sticker/permit. I don't know if they have to pay for it, but and they've got signs up at all their parking lots saying that if you aren't one of those people and you don't have the sticker, you can't park here or you'll be towed away. So, and it's really quite in your face. Of course, I'm not a resident of Barrie. If I go with my son, I'm okay. But and this has happened to me twice in the last month. Just trying to use an ordinary park with no, like it's not a beach, it's just a park, right? But. Anyhow, it's a little intimidating, but I gather that they did that because residents were complaining that they couldn't get into the place because there's all these non-residents using it. So,
yeah, I heard that Sega Beach was doing that. That they're starting the same sort of thing because, the non-residents come and take up all the space.
Yeah,
so. I know they did that in Innisfil.
Yeah. And so I understand. And yeah, you wouldn't want to be a resident and find you can't go to your public park because there's already. Lots of these other people, right? But
okay, any further discussion on the fees and charges? We're all agreeable to Councillor Haskins' suggestion there to get this passed.
Yeah.
Staff's okay with it?
Yeah, so 200 for full, 100 for half.
Sure.
So we're better. And whatever they don't pay, Councillor Haskins will cover. Okay. All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. On to 21.3, resolution 25-393, moved by Councilor Keckin and second by Councilor Ryan. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2025-43, being a bylaw to establish rules and regulations for the management and control of all cemeteries operated by the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. Repeal bylaws 2012-14, 2012-18, and 2016-06. The third reading and passed in open council the second day of September 2025. Discussion? Want to add the word finally in there? Finally passed? I'm impressed with this one. Unlike Shania Twain, this does impress me. All the changes we talked about before, I think, Mary's Putnam or whoever made the changes, and this is exemplary.
Okay, Shania.
All the questions, all in favor? None opposed, carried.
Yeah.
Put it to rest.
Yeah, a lot of good work was put into it.
Council Kazuma.
Again. says staff to investigate the cost of new flooring, restoring storing floors in the community hall and the arena. That's a new one, I never heard of that.
Yeah, just a new surface on the arena floor because of the cracks in the floor.
Okay.
So the pickleballers have suggested a coating new paint on it, but we just have to further investigate it.
Yes, I think we have to make sure that it's all compatible, that it still holds ice, because that was the idea. It is a rink, even though it's only, well, I guess winter is getting longer, but I think we have to look at it as ice surface before pickleballer surface sort of thing, but just make sure it's compatible, that they don't put a surface on there that won't hold the ice. And the way our engineer was talking, doing this in some other township, they're now looking at new materials so that you could actually have a Zamboni, you could actually have a system so that you can keep the ice longer. I'm not saying we're going that way or putting it on our list of projects, but he's saying it is becoming cheaper than it ever used to be for outdoor rinks.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that list? Okay, on to new business. We have resolution 25-394, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Haskam. Whereas the Township of McKellar recognizes the importance of supporting local students while the new K-12 school remains under construction. And whereas beginning Tuesday, September the 2nd, 2025, the students at Prairie Sound High School are required to learn remotely until the new school construction is completed. And whereas the Township of McKellar will make available dedicated workspace in the municipal building for McKellar resident students to access reliable internet and quiet environment to complete online learning during regular school hours. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby authorizes the provision of temporary learning space in the municipal building for Prairie Sound High School resident students, and further that students may be accommodated in the council chambers, multipurpose room, or youth room, the understanding that supervision will be minimal to none and parental discretion is advised, and further that access to the space will be contingent upon the completion of a waiver form with parents slash guardians required to complete the form for students under 18, and students aged 18 and older permitted to complete the form themselves. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
I think that's a great idea. Have you had very many people?
No, but I heard from a Prairie Sound High School parent today that they're not ready to do the online learning today, so they've been deferred a week. So we may get more students next week. I don't think they're doing the learning this week.
So school hasn't started then?
No.
For just for the grade nines to?
Yeah.
Or the other ones are all okay? Correct. They're all going.
Okay.
When I heard this sort of advertised on the media that other municipalities were doing this, I thought, well, you know, maybe this is something that McKellar could offer as well. So in principle, I think it's a great idea. But we just were talking to the insurance provider today and wondering if they offer risk management, because I think there's a lot of issues or concerns that can arise. You know, there's... So a student gets, they get dropped off by their parents. How are they welcomed here, or who signs them in? What if they don't even come to the space here? So there's accountability with how this is all being set up. As well, they're in a space that's not being supervised. What if they have a medical emergency and there's no one there monitoring what's going on? I think there should be a caveat that we'll provide the space as long as the Near North School Board provides an educational assistant or a supervisor overseeing, because we don't offer any programs that I'm aware of where there's no supervision. When it was offered as a drop-in space for when it was a youth room, there was an adult supervising it. And when there's arm wrestling going on, there's an adult supervising it. I don't think we offer any programming where there isn't someone there even to sort of determine, keep their eyes open if something happens. What if there's several students and there's one of them has a food allergy. Like, there's so many things that can pop up that are, and there's no one there that's has the proper training. Schools have lockdown procedures, so if it's in the youth room and the door is wide open, who's controlling who comes in there and who has access to the students that are there? I think we're really opening ourselves up, and I think that's why it would be prudent to have the insurance provider provide risk management assessment. And I think the simplest thing is that this is a great gesture, but the narrow school board is their responsibility. So I think that there could be a caveat added that the narrow school board provide, like I said, an educational assistant or some supervisor to oversee the students during the course of this online learning period.
But we can't rely on the Near North School Board. They're not accountable.
Well, so now we're accountable. We're taking the risk. And
yeah, well,
what's our policy that we have in place to oversee these concerns? Like, you know, just a good idea can be a bad idea if it's not handled properly.
Yeah. I agree with you, Mike, but I think that sometimes we just have to go beyond and do something. Do you know what I'm saying?
We can,
yeah.
and that's why it's a great idea in principle, but we can't make poor decisions because we haven't thought it out properly.
What does the waiver form say? Could that be included in there somehow? I think that's the key to resolving this. And that would be something, you know, another onus on staff, I guess, to check. You say the door is open. Well, only those people who have signed, agreed to this, can be in there. And so I think the waiver would cover that as far as not being responsible for, or use it on risk, or whatever, however you want to word it. And I think of a number of programs that we've offered where, well, as you say, there's somebody there. A swim program, for instance. Parents would drop the kids off. They wouldn't stay necessarily unless they're really young. And there'd be somebody there in charge of looking after the program. Same with T-ball, I guess. I don't think all the parents stay necessarily. Some of them would if they're younger for T-ball. But
yeah, for T-ball they do because
yeah.
of the age.
But I think the waiver form is a key. We use it for other things to help us. And as suggested, it is an emergency situation. But, and, you know, it's also that something you can investigate with the other townships. Have they investigated? How far have they gone? They seem to be stepping forward. My concern in all of this is that the library, the ideal location, I would think, is not involved, and I'm not sure why. Maybe we have an answer.
Just because they're their own separate entity and they have the board to make that decision. As the township, we didn't want to impose on them, and maybe they didn't agree that their space was adequate or they could house them, so we didn't want to make that decision. And by all means, the library board could decide that they are willing to offer that space now, but the township wasn't going to make that decision.
Well, no, you can't force it. You're right. It's just that they're renting space in a building which we're now in these emergency situations where they even approach. Otherwise, they may not do anything themselves. They might be open to it. Maybe they're not even aware of what other rooms are being opened up and whether they should follow suit and help out. Councillor Zulak?
Like I'm on the board, so I can bring that up, but I myself didn't even know because I never checked my emails until after the fact that it was already done. But the library, they have people come in and do tests, and they are supervised. Like, they have to sign, you know, school tests, and they have to sign that, you know, they're doing it properly, and they're... So I don't see why. I'll phone and talk to them, but I don't see why they would have a problem with it at all. And you've never heard nothing from them?
I hadn't reached out yet. And the only other issue with the library is their hours. They don't allow
yeah,
them
I know.
The school
yeah.
day either.
Only certain days. And yeah, but I can approach them and ask them. But another thing I was thinking of too was we have people drop their kids off and they go skating and everything, and they could fall, slit their throat or whatever with a thing, and there's no supervision. Or the kids are going and playing baseball or whatever.
Yeah, I think maybe what Councilor Peckin had even tweeted this, but it wasn't an organized event sponsored by the township,
mm-hmm.
like skating and the ball field and that sort of thing. They just sports that they're doing on their own.
That's it.
Yeah,
but
so
they're on township property. What happens if they get hurt, right?
Well, no, I agree. But this is something that is being condoned.
Organized.
That is organized. Yeah, that's all. But no, I think it's an emergency situation. And I guess the concern would be, you know, how long are we going to continue this? And as far as the library, yeah, they could open there certain hours. I know they're open during the day, certain days. And it's the type of thing, again, if waivers have been signed and it's an open door policy. The office is open, what, 9 to, or 8:30 to, what is it, 4:30?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're working overtime. And that sort of thing. I don't think there'd be any, and I can see the library, too, being concerned, I suppose, about, you know, the equipment there and the different things that they have. And they have to make the call. But maybe if they can be talked to at least and say that there'd be some drop in and some control.
Because it's Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
They're open.
Tuesday's 12 to 7, Wednesday 11 to 6, Thursday 12 to 5, but...
Even that's something, yeah.
That's something, and...
it's the type of thing that if they were...
I'm sure, I'll be shocked if they say no.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
if they even start out, say, in the council chambers, and that's open, that's an option for certain hours, they can move over, so...
Especially now, since the busy time is down, so they might not have as many patrons in there. So, and if they're bringing their own laptops, if the other ones are being used.
Who signs the waiver?
The parent.
That's what I assumed, but I mean, yeah, that would be important to note anyhow, too. But.
Yeah. Or the child if they're over 18.
Yes.
Which they could be, yeah.
Like I think the council chambers in the library is a better option because there's a little more oversight taking place compared to the youth room. When we went and retrieved a few things for the historical committee from there, we could access the rest of the community center basement with without nothing was locked. So if you're leaving unsupervised kids, and you know, there's I think it just opens the door to possibilities where we may find ourselves in a predicament. So,
I guess it depends on how many.
Right.
Come.
That would be a determination.
We probably won't have many. I don't think there's any high school students in Broadbent at all. I don't think we have any high school students. Does there many get on the bus here in McCallum?
Not many.
No, it's going to be a handful.
And it'd only be ones without internet at home, really, because the high school student's going to choose to stay at home to do their schoolwork and not come into a building unless they need internet.
But I guess if any do show up, maybe we should look at another clause added to the form they're going to sign that we're not responsible.
I can provide the waiver to Intact, and they can provide me with their wording.
And maybe if you want to contact a couple of municipalities and see if they had to take any special precautions, you know, or any suggestions on the waiver form. Other than that, I think because of the situation, we go for it for now. We can revisit it again in 2 weeks.
Yeah, see how it's working.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members.
We had a very summary plan board meeting, and I think we had about 5 or 6 applications.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they all passed. So there's definitely some lots being developed in our area. Oh, I guess one very large one in McDougal, about 69 residential lots and 3 commercial and a bunch of parkland. At the old Deer Run Golf Course, was approved by the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. It's going to be done in phases each year.
Wasn't that one like going to be like three or four estate lots at one time?
That was the original intent of the purchaser.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing that was interesting to note, how Carling is operating, because we were told with the previous application that they wouldn't report to the Ontario Land Tribunal. It was up to the Curzon Board. And so Curzon Area Planning Board said, no, we don't involve that either. It's up to the municipality. So a change was made at the Planning Board to clauses, and now it looks like Carling is getting involved, and they're appealing the change from the Planning Board to the Ontario Land Tribunal. So I guess following what this council had done too with a couple of applications previously, where it was questioned by council members, I think it was the previous council, and took it to the OLT. I think you've won back Fox Farm Road is one that comes to mind.
Oh yeah.
So that was appealed, but it was before. It was Carling said that we're not the approval agency, we're just consenting, so we won't spend any money, but now they're doing it, so something has changed.
So who's all on the planning board now? McKellar, Carling?
Yeah, McDougall and White Sands.
Okay.
Still.
McDougall.
Any other reports?
So on September 20th, between the hours of 1:30 and 3:30, then the historical committee is having an open house at St. Stephen's. This is a Saturday, just for those who may have missed it on Friday, the 22nd of August.
When is it?
So a Saturday, the
20th
at from 1:30 to 3:30, and we'll have some musical entertainment and to provide an open house and people can socialize and take a look if they weren't able to make it out there on August 22nd.
Yeah, there was quite a few people I ran into who weren't aware somehow or another, crawled out of their hole, I guess, but so this gives them an opportunity.
Well, well advertised, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't well advertised.
So, yeah, and because it was on a Friday previously,
yeah.
Just because that was the date that we were given. So
yeah,
I heard some people
Friday.
Say, oh, Friday, how
yeah.
can we go?
Well, they're going to have a Saturday now, so.
Yeah.
And the porta potty stays in place, or what's going on there?
No, no, that's, well, we might be able to shift it back out there. So, yeah, that's, but yeah, that might be the goal at one point, is to have something similar to that built.
Yeah,
because it's a porta potty; it's not a class one septic system. So,
but what do we have in our parks? I mean, we think of at Stewart Park and down in Maplewood; those are washrooms provided. So, why can't that be done out there?
So, but that's through a permit, right through North Bay Mattawa. That's actually an outhouse, like a class one septic system, sewage system,
right?
Where you have to dig a hole and.
Right.
And those tend to be pretty raunchy.
I don't know. I haven't heard any complaints from the ones in the
Well,
park.
They're used so little.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't smell when you go into them. The Broadbent has one at the ballpark, too.
Right.
And yeah, they just use so little, or if at all. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking that as an option as
yeah.
well as bringing it.
We did discuss that, but you know, that's quite a process. And but yeah, long term maybe that's something. But and then to see how much use they actually get to determine which direction the historical committee will decide to go.
So 21st then, when are the church services?
No, the 20th. The 20th.
I know. The next day is Sunday.
Okay.
It is church.
Right. Right.
So I'm
right.
wondering if you organized anything for the 21st.
Maybe in the long term, but. On the 21st.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go that far.
Yeah.
Anything else? Consent agenda? Resolution? 25-395, moved by Councillor Pecknan, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Any wish pulled from that?
Carly got something there.
Yes.
Diploma?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Now we should. we'll have to keep it secret.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's that frame?
Yeah, it's not a little.
But that is excellent. I mean, 7 years you said to get that. It's a certificate, you're not letting go of it, you're not going to show it to us.
I got it framed.
Yeah.
You have to put one up in your office.
Yeah, I need to find some wall space.
Oh, that's excellent. We're all appreciative of it, too. So.
Long time?
7 years.
Cripes.
Seven long years.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bring some donuts.
Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, Gary. Question comment period related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person and online?
A couple process questions. The discussion on the municipal winter maintenance for the roads, I didn't see that on the agenda at all, so I was not aware that that was going to be discussed. So I'm not sure from a transparency perspective how improvements can be made to ensure that's in there.
We had a request from one of the road associations, so the email was provided, but looking back, I should have put the draft resolution in there as well, so that ratepayers were aware.
Thank you. Secondly, similar resolution last year, I think it was approved in August, mentioned that the roads would be reviewed in the spring of 2025. That did not happen.
Well, it may have. It wasn't by council necessarily, you're right.
Well, I guess it was not reported back to council in
right.
time for them to review for the 2025-26.
Right.
And I share council's disappointment with that. Of course, the public works superintendent didn't have something available for this meeting, which may make the review in the spring of 2026 moot for those roads. If it is a fulsome report that public works superintendent provides, hopefully within the next few weeks. I don't know, is there ETA that is being worked towards, or is it open-ended?
We're hoping for September 16th. Like I mentioned before, Intact Public Entities is attending the township tomorrow to do an actual physical road tour, and then I'm in contact with our solicitor as well.
Okay. And I do appreciate council's approach to try to be equitable and fair for all ratepayers that have the same similar issues regarding winter maintenance. So appreciate that consideration and look forward to the report. It's very anecdotal. The comments we've heard are that some of the issues that exist with the roads today are not as bad as, I guess, the Watkins Lane issue. That's anecdotal. We'll let Public Works Superintendent report on that, hopefully on the 16th. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Anyone online wish to comment? On to 27.1, resolution 25-396, moved by Councillor Haslam, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-48. The bylaw confirmed the proceedings